Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I always look for the opportunity to share the good things of God, the powerful things of God, the enriched things, enlightened things of God. That's my desire. And sometimes we've got to expose and to speak out and show other things that are taking place because Satan, this is his kingdom and his world, even though we're the kingdom of God and we believe that the kingdom of God is now, like the Bible says, because we are the kingdom of God. God is living and dwelling in us. Where's his mansion that he's off building? I heard that he's out there someplace on a planet somewhere building these mansions. This is the mansion that was prepared right here, brothers and sisters. It was prepared by the bloodshed of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand the word. It was prepared by the bloodshed of Jesus, and he washed and cleansed and purified and made this thing whole that he could live and dwell in it. Amen. So there's your preparation that he had to go to prepare this place, and it was prepared, and he came back and dwelled there within. And that's why the kingdom of God is now, and that's why the kingdom of God is within. Amen. So we do understand these things. Well, Brother Rob, isn't there going to be some time and someday that there's going to be a kingdom off there someplace? And I say, well, there will be a kingdom established in the earth, and it'll be ruled out of Jerusalem. Amen. And Jesus Christ will sit on the throne. Amen. And we will be there ruling and reigning with him forever and ever, brothers and sisters. But for this 1,000-year perspective, this earth will go through somewhat of a change. It's not going to go through the metamorphosis, but it will go through a change, brothers and sisters. Not going to be just like this earth is right now, but it'll be very similar. Just like we came upright in righteousness, this earth's going to come upright. Jesus will set up rule and rule this earth for 1,000 years. The lion will lay down by the lamb. And there's still going to be problems in the millennium. Because he says, if you do not come and worship him there in Jerusalem, he said that there will be no rain on your crops. And at the end of that 1,000-year reign, it said Satan will be loose for a season, and he'll see who he can go and deceive and devour. And there will be some that fall away and lose out in that time. But that's going to be the natural Jews' reign there at that particular time, because we're already reigning with Christ now. And we'll have a glorified body during that time. Our body had already gone through, because it foreruns the spirit Jew, and we forerun the transfiguration or winning the redemption of the body. And the Jews will have this body for this 1,000 years. It'll go just like it was the body of Methuselah, where he didn't make it to quite a day because of the fall in the garden. But there will be a man that lives over 1,000 years. He lives over that time, and then that shows the curse is broken. And then after the 1,000-year reign, this earth then will go through the metamorphosis, and it'll be changed to celestial, brothers and sisters, like transparent gold. So we got to keep our dimensions in order and understand things in a natural, physical, and spiritual world, a body, soul, spirit. They're not complicated. We just got to pray that God will open up our understanding and open up our eyes so we can perceive and see and understand. So oftentimes somebody will get a dimension and they'll understand something of God, and they got a real good clear understanding of something maybe in the second heaven or something maybe in the third heaven, but they got that understanding on it and they've never broadened the horizons by praying and asking God to unveil these other dimensions to them. And then if you present a dimension to them that's outside of the one they know, then they just automatically think you're an error. Well, I'm not in agreement with that because I understand it this way. You know, I'm sorry that it's that way with people, but we need to get a revelation to understand the heights, depths, widths, and lengths of God's word. And sometimes we can think we do know something and we don't know what we ought to know. Amen. So, been there, brothers and sisters, but grace of God has helped me and led me and guided me and opened up my eyes and opened up my understanding. Amen. I teach that the unseen things, according to Romans, the first chapter, the 20th verse, said the unseen things of the spirit world, the unseen things are made known and manifest in the things that appear. And when you see somebody eat up with this cancer, are just consuming them. Not in all cases. We're speaking of allegories, and you can't make these dogmatic and yay and amen, but I'm telling you that many times the people that just get eat up with hatred and bitterness and things like that, you'll see cancer consume them. I mean, because the cancer is the same thing. It eats you alive from within and just eats you up. Bitterness and hatred and animosity and strife and jealousy. The Bible says jealousy is cruel as the grave. You know, when people get these things in them and you listen to them, them talking, there's no reason to have that kind of hate. There's no reason for it, but it's jealousy because they want preeminence. They want to be the one. They want this and they want, and that just consumes and destroys and eats them alive. Pray, brothers and sisters. I mean, pray for them. It's just a sad, sad thing. But the Bible said they don't come on us as unawares because we see and we understand and we know. As I quote the scripture so often, the Bible said they're sick and afflicted among you. And it says, why? Because they do not know how to discern the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we need to know how to discern the body of the Lord. Brother Ed right here is my brother. He's the body of Christ. If the man is born again, he's the body of the Lord. And what I do unto him is what I do to him. The least, what you do unto these brethren is what you do unto the Lord. And what you do unto the least of them, my brethren, it says, is what you do unto the Lord. The Lord Jesus said, I was in prison and you visited me not. And what do you mean, Lord? I was in the hospital and you visited me not. But Lord, when was you in the hospital? What you done to the least of these, my brethren? And you see, the Bible said, beware when you entertain strangers unaware. Because you'd be entertaining angels. People get into this, well, what was it? Was it an angel came down and manifested? What am I don't know the man. You know, what's the Bible saying there? Let me tell you, when you entertain a stranger, you better beware. Because that might be a man full of the Holy Ghost, and he might be speaking by the Spirit of God. And the thing is you just say, you ain't nothing, you ain't nobody. You just spoke against the body of Christ and lightly esteemed the Word of God and the mind of God, and God was so kind and so patient. One of our little brothers having some problems in his marriage. So him and his wife's together. He sees a man broke down on the side of the road and he pulls over with his car. Pulls over there and says, hey, sir, looks like you need some help. The man was a preacher. And he turned to the brother and he said, no, it looks like you're the one that needs help. And he spoke and reproved him about the way he's doing and the way he's treating his wife. You see, that was an angel, brother said. Oh, no, that was a preacher. It was a man. It was the angel of the Lord that had enough concern for this young man to reprove this guy. You see? We got to learn how the Spirit of God works. We got to learn and understand how God moves and how God works. I don't need no man. I don't need no man. I got this prayer life. I got God. Poor, lost, sick individual. The Bible sent the ministers into the world to remit sin. When you come to a revelation, to an understanding, and to a doctrine, there's going to have to be repentance, and you need to take and have your sins remitted. This is why the Bible said that's the last thing that Jesus told and said, but everybody don't need submission. They don't need nothing. They don't need anything. They just, boy, I've just talked. Talk to God. And when you find people in that condition, beware, because they're walking in idolatry, following after their own self. You're going to submit somewhere. It's like this sister's mother said, I'll never submit to a man. I'll never submit to a man. I say, well, one thing you must remember, that Jesus Christ was a man. Amen. And you better submit unto him. And when you submit unto Jesus Christ, he is going to bring a spirit of subjection, submission, and temperance to you, and you will submit. Amen. The Bible said, submit one to another. This ain't some masculine message. Oh, man, you're a woman. Shut your mouth. I'm the woman. I'm the bride of Christ. I need to shut my mouth, and I need to submit unto him and be married unto him and let him make the decisions and lead and guide and rule and reign. Amen. And then we go into the next dimension. It falls the same way. When a man loves God and he's submitted to God and following after the Spirit of God and got God's Spirit, that woman will line right up with him. Amen. Because that's God's order and that's God's way. So if you're having problems, amen, check up with your Heavenly Father. Amen. Because they're allegories. They're types and shadows. Yes. But then on the other hand, God is speaking and showing forth. Amen. Praise God. You know, we could sit here and say, I'm a man, bless God, woman, shut your mouth and you're going to listen to me. And when you think that way and say that way, that's what you're saying. God, man, I'm the weaker vessel. I'm going to shut my mouth and I'm going to listen to you. Amen. And that's what we need to do. It fits in all measures. This ain't some kind of masculinity. That, you know, the Bible said she's a weaker vessel, brothers and sisters, and we love them and cherish them. We lay our life down for them. We don't speak evil and cruel, and we don't treat some woman like she's some kind of servant or some kind of slave. And shut your mouth, woman. I'm the head of this house, you ignorant. I'm not going to say it. God, help me. Hallelujah. I want you to open up your Bibles with me. Go over to the New Testament. We're going to do some reading here. I love the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you what, God is so good to us. So good. Let's just go to the first chapter here of 2 Peter and do a little bit of reading. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that that's talking about you. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Amen. Boy, we could say a lot right there. Hallelujah. The glory and the virtue, amen, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. You know, brothers and sisters, many times we read scriptures and we don't really truly understand what we're reading. And I'm not going to sit here and try to project myself of some man with great understanding, but I have the Spirit of the Holy Ghost dwelling in me, and it can open up my understanding that I could perceive and comprehend the heights, depths, widths, and lengths of God's Word, that I could come to a revelation and understand what's being said. Because so many times we have intellectual concepts and we go right by God's Word and we really don't apply it. We don't live it. We don't sense the strength. And really, very few people that profess Christianity, it almost sounds insulting to say that, but I'm telling you, there's not many people walking in the potentials of Jesus' life, a Jesus Spirit-filled life. I'm one of them. I'm not walking to the fullness of the potentiality that I should be, knowing what God has given. He said he's given me everything that pertaineth unto life. He said he's no respecter of person. And when I read the stories about the patriarchs of old and the demonstration of powers and the things they walked in and the obstacles and the things that they overcome, brothers and sisters, this is where we need to be doing, and this is where we need to be at. And we need to turn this whole world upside down for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So when I speak, it sounds offensive or whatever. I'm speaking because all men's hearts are fashioned alike, and we need to press in and we need to get with it and we need to get going. Amen. So we're speaking about virtue here. You know, if we go over and read in the Bible, I could take you back over and read about when Jesus was going down the street and people were pressing from all around. People were pressing against him, and he stopped right in the street. People all around him. And he said, "Who touched me?" And his disciples look and say, "What do you mean, Lord, who touched you? There's people all around you. People are pushing and wanting to get close. And this name, what do you mean, who touched you?" And what did he say? He said he felt virtue leave his body. So we need to understand this. This is something that we need to have. The very first thing when we read right here, if we go back to verse 3, it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Let me tell you how important virtue is to have in your life. If you want to pray without virtue, your prayers are dead and useless. I'm sorry to say that. If you want to lay hands, the Bible said, you know, let them that are sick and afflicted among you come forward in the church, and let the elders anoint them with oil and lay hands on them and pray for them. And you do that and you don't have the virtue of the Holy Ghost in you, your prayer and your oil and all that is going to profit nothing. And you say, "Wait a minute, Brother Rob. I'm just staying with the Bible and the Word of God." It was the virtue that went forth out of Jesus Christ. Where does this virtue come from? It comes from a Spirit-filled life and a Spirit-filled walk. It's part of the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of holiness. We need the Spirit of virtue. We need the Spirit of knowledge. The Bible goes over and talks about the gifts. You know, and it says it's all in one by the same Spirit. So if we need knowledge and we need prophecy and we need tongues and we need interpretations of tongues and we need healing and we need miracles and we need wisdom, we need these things. It's all by one and the same Spirit. And this is where this virtue comes from. This is where it comes from. It's from God. And if without it, you're nothing. You see, with faith, brothers and sisters, saying this is what we have to add to faith. And without faith, we can't know God. The Bible says without faith, we cannot know God nor please God, and we'll never see God. So faith is the most important thing that we have, but it says to our faith, we need to add virtue. Amen. If you want your prayers answered, have virtue. If you want to know that God hears you, have virtue. If you want to know that when you anoint and lay hands on people, the virtue of the Spirit of God has got to go forth. Many times people aren't having prayers answered. Many times the Bible says they pray amiss unto their own selves. But you know, there's so many times because there's no virtue. Virtue is going to come by separation from the world. Virtue is going to come by walking with God and being within Him and Him in you and walking in holiness. So many times we get too denominational. Well, you know, this is a holiness church over here. We don't really believe that way. There's only one way to believe. The Bible says, without holiness, no man will see God. We need the Spirit of holiness. Yes, it's going to show up in the way you dress. But holiness is a work by the Spirit. But the Bible didn't say just to present our spirit holy. The Bible said present our body, our soul, and our spirit holy. You see, there's people that dress in holiness. The scriptures say they're whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. We need more than just holiness in the way we dress. And some people say, well, I love Jesus and He's washed me and cleansed me and I've got the spirit of holiness within. And then it don't show up on the outside. It profit nobody nothing then. People need to see holiness in you. They need to hear holiness in your conversation. They need to see virtue in your conversation and everything that you say and everything that you do. We need the Spirit of God, brothers and sisters. And when we have His Spirit, this is the way it projects. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Let's talk about knowledge now for a moment. The Bible said knowledge puffeth up. And that's what the Bible says. So why does God want us to take and add to our faith a knowledge if knowledge puffeth up, and when you get puffed up, you're going to be in the fall? So why would God be asking us here this? You see, this is where I have to get understanding. There's a carnal concept of a knowledge. I deal with people, brothers and sisters, and they come with knowledge. Let me tell you something. It makes me sick in my stomach. Why don't they say, let me tell you what the Spirit of God come in my heart and shared with me by the virtue and the love of God and of the Holy Ghost. But the knowledge of some preacher and the knowledge of some teaching is consuming them and killing them. And you say, but Brother Rob, come on. What is it, Brother Rob? You can't come against the ministry. I'm not coming against the ministry. Brothers and sisters, I'm seeing what the Bible says here. Let's don't just go after these. Let's get the virtue of the Spirit-filled life and of the holiness of God and the power of salvation. And let Him with that add a knowledge of God. You see, there's a knowledge, brothers and sisters, that destroys and kills and puffs up. It's when you press in, when you take your Bible and you read it and you're trying to put this thing and you're getting it into an intellectual concept. The Bible said the letter of the law killeth. You could take this Bible and you could kill people and destroy because you're taking it without the virtue and the love of God. Brothers and sisters, it's the letter of the law killeth. And you could take and kill people and break up homes and bust up marriage and all these things with your knowledge of your carnal concept, with your quotes of the Bible. We need the Spirit of the Word is what we need. And that's love, and it's gentleness, and it's patient, and it's kind. Amen. Let me tell you about the love of God. Let me tell you, man, it's going to reach out. And it's going to love. When the woman's in there, it's going to love and say, honey, I love you, and work it out and lead and guide by the virtue and love and kindness. You'll lead them into the truth. You don't beat a woman into following. You don't beat a woman and belittle her and call her names to get her to follow you. Lead her by love. And honey, I love you. And I'm going to teach you. And we're going to go. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Help me, Jesus. My dad made a statement. He said, man, I wished I had the understanding after I got done raising three boys. He said, I wished I had that understanding when I started raising them. It don't work that way. I wished I had the understanding 35 years ago. When my wife and I got together, I wished I had the understanding that I have now, but it don't work that way. You see, I've made failures. I could preach the Word of God. You know why? Because the Word's proved itself to me. I found that my ways don't work, but His ways always do. I found that my ideologies are failure, but His Word is Spirit and truth, and it leads and guides and directs and sets free. Brothers and sisters, the Word has proven itself to me. And I wish I could say, man, I read this Bible, and it just lightened up to me and everything. I learned a lot of this Word by the failures of lining up with this Word. I learned a lot of my obedience through suffering, brothers and sisters, because I didn't walk where I should have. Don't you wish all little boys could say, man, I'm just a good boy because, you know, I listened to what dad said. No, a lot of times they didn't listen and they got their tail busted and that made them good boys. Amen. And I'll tell you, our Heavenly Father chastens us. Amen. We could all say, amen. I know that. I've been on that street. Hallelujah. You know, I've been behind the woodshed with my Heavenly Father. Amen. And He loves you. Amen. And He loves me. I thank God. Verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. So let's analyze, brothers and sisters, and let's examine. Do we have faith? That's the first thing we got to do. Without faith, we can't know God. We can't please God, nor see God. And without faith, the Bible said it'll be imputed to you as sin. So now we say faith. Okay, brother, I got faith. Some say, well, I got faith. I'm a Baptist. I got faith. I'm a Methodist. I got faith. I'm a Pentecostal. That's not faith. That's a misconcept of what faith is. People think, well, I'm of this faith, I'm of that faith, you know, I'm a Catholic faith, I'm of this faith. No, that's not faith. That is not faith, brothers and sisters. The Lord Jesus spoke to numerous people about faith. When he told the woman that she was a dog, and she said the dogs eat crumbs from under the master table, and he said, now we're talking what faith is. They had faith. When the doctor says you're dying, you could say, well, I'm a Methodist. That faith ain't going to do nothing for you. But you can say, I believe God's word, and He says He's my physician, and He says I'm going to live, and that He gave me everything that pertaineth unto life, and I believe what He said, Doc. No disrespect to you and your degrees and what it says on your wall. I appreciate you and thank you much, but I believe in what He said, hallelujah, and I'm going to live, amen. Now we're talking about faith, amen. Faith. So now with this faith that we believe in Jesus Christ, that He was crucified and died and shed His blood on the cross for us, and that He come forth out of the ground and gave us everything that pertaineth unto life. Now we're starting at the beginning of things, and we're going to take and add virtue with this. And the virtue is the spirit world, the spirit life, and the presence of God in us. And it's going to move. It's what's going to make things happen. Amen. It's the power, the strength, the manifestation of God. And this virtue's got to come forth from us. It's got to emanate from us. We got to see it and feel it and let it have its way. And with this virtue, we're going to get a knowledge, brothers and sisters. Not some carnal degree, not some carnal concept, not some ideology, not some memorization what a preacher said, not somebody because this one said that, or because I sat with this preacher 20 years, or because this. That's not knowledge. Knowledge is a spirit, brothers and sisters, that comes and it leads us and directs us and guides us and shows us. Brothers and sisters, things. If we went over to the 12th chapter of Corinthians, and it has the gifts there. And one of the gifts is knowledge. The difference between the knowledge of the Spirit and the knowledge of man is two different things. People don't know how to discern that. I've used this for an explanation. I'll back up and do this for a moment, and we're going to go on here. Now, the thing is if I looked out here and I said, I'll use this as an example. I say, Brother Howard, when's your birthday? He said, January 13th. I say, how'd you know that? Well, my mama told me that all my life. When I was a little boy, man, every time January 13th thrown around, man, we had a birthday party. We blew out candles or whatever. But see, that was a knowledge. Is this the knowledge it's speaking about here? See, this is a carnal, intellectual concept of a knowledge. He knows that because it was told to him. But there's a spirit of knowledge, brothers and sisters, that comes from God. And it's all of a sudden that you will be in need of something, and you get a gift of knowledge about this thing, and you know the outcome, and it could only have come from Him. You say, well, that would be more in the lines of a gift of prophecy, Brother Rob, when you see the outcome of something. And I can see many of these gifts, they really run some fine lines with one another. And yes, it could be. Many times, you know, people don't really discern what the gift truly is. We think of prophecy, and we think, well, that's the gift of predicting or seeing something before it happens and speaking it forth. Well, that's what a tongue and interpretation of tongue could be also. Someone could speak in tongues and interpret, and the end of the matter is the same thing as what the prophecy would have brought forth. You see, but it comes forth a different way. And then we can go into prophecy, and it's not where all of a sudden, thus saith the Lord, and it could be the spirit of prophecy going forth from the ministers he's preaching the gospel. We need to understand these things, brothers and sisters. But we're speaking about knowledge here for a moment. And the thing is that, you know, all of a sudden, I've had people come in and they say, Brother Rom, I need prayer. And I said, well, sure, man, I'd love to pray for you. Amen. And they come, well, this is what the problem is. You see, and then all of a sudden you can get a word of knowledge. Someone said, well, this is standing on the verge of discernment. I said, yeah, they run real close together too. But a word of knowledge comes to you and this individual is saying, well, I need prayer because thus, thus, and thus, or whatever. And all of a sudden, the word of knowledge comes to you and say, that's not why they need prayer. This is the manifestation that they're seeing right now. And they say, we need prayer because of this problem. I need prayer. You know, my husband's left me. I need prayer. My wife's left me. And you say, okay, so how do we pray? Oh, Lord, him, bring his wife back. Oh, Lord, bring husband back. You see, that could be praying amiss. You know, but sometimes the word of knowledge could come and the Lord starts speaking and say, well, this is why. My husband's no good. He's lousy. This and that. I said, what'd you run him off for? What do you mean run him off? He's just no good, lousy. Why'd you make him no good and lousy, sister? Well, I can't receive that. I can't receive that. I counsel a lot of people, brothers and sisters. I hear a lot of things. I hear the women saying, oh man, the man's no good. I hear the man saying the woman's no good and stuff. I got to get some knowledge from God to know how to counsel. So speaking of this knowledge is when it comes from God. We add to virtue, we add knowledge, and this knowledge comes from God. And the knowledge unveils things that we know how to walk in the Spirit with understanding. And sometimes you look at people's weakness and things like that, but when you get the knowledge of God, you don't get bitter or angry. You just say, oh God, let me help, let me lead, let me guide, let me pray. We need to show understanding. And the knowledge of God isn't a puffed up fleshly knowledge of mankind. It's a knowledge that comes by the Spirit. It's the knowledge that is there, that loves and does good to them, that is using you. Amen. It brings you to that understanding, know how to do that. It's a knowledge that comes from God. Let's go on just a little bit here. Diligence, and add to your faith virtue, and add to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. Well, what is that? What is that? No. What is it? Temperance, brothers and sisters, and self-control. You could switch them around. They're very much running the same thing. If we could look at the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to find the manifestation of a man that had self-control. For what good thing have I done that you want to take up these stones and stone me? He wasn't grabbing up stones. Now I know, I understand the Bible, and there was times that Jesus said, you're a swine, you're a pig. He didn't say that. You're a whitewashed sepulcher. There was a time he went in the temple and he took a whip and he ran the money changers out with a whip. You know, the movies they portray it, they got some little sissified Jesus.
Oh, get behind me, Satan.
It wasn't quite that way. I'm telling you what, Jesus wasn't some sissified, Hollywood portrayed little limp-wristed thing. But he didn't come and walk through this world with a masculinity neither, like, man, get out of my way, I'm the man. He had the power, brothers and sisters, in the spoken word, because it was him that was living in Peter when he said, you're standing at the feet of them that just buried your husband and gave up the ghost. He didn't need to show masculinity by something like that. The Bible teaches very clear, it's the sword that comes forth out of his mouth. And brothers and sisters, the spoken word is all power and authority, the power to bless, the power to curse. So brothers and sisters, we say self-control. The Lord wants us to have self-control. He wants us to have the spirit of temperance, brothers and sisters. So how is he going to get you with this? What is he going to do to Brother Ed or Brother Jeff? What is he going to do to Brother Rob or Brother Howard or Brother David that we could have temperance in our lives? He's going to put somebody in your face. And they're not justified whatsoever. And they're going to speak evil against you. And they're going to say things that aren't the truth. And you're going to get to exercise. You see, when you get into this defense mode and this self-defense and start railing and this and that, you have not exercised self-control or temperance. Let's look at Jesus now. You're a wine bibber. Did he defend? Oh, you're so wrong. No. You're a devil. Beelzebub. You see, brothers and sisters, he loved. When they drove his hands in, he didn't scream and yell at him. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. You see, brothers and sisters, we're speaking of temperance, self-control. When do we exercise this? When we're out in front of people? When do we exercise this, brothers and sisters? When we're out in public? As a man told me the other day, he says, you don't know what hypocrisy is. He said, you call me a hypocrite if I scream it and yell it at my wife or kids and I go out in public and then I act like a Christian, and I smile, and I keep my temper and everything under control, and I don't raise my voice, and you call me a hypocrite. He said, that's not a hypocrite. He said, that's a testimony. He said, that's my testimony I'm protecting. He's a hypocrite. I know what a hypocrite is. Yes. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Listen closely to me. You might have a cross up with your wife in the car. You might raise your voice. She might raise her voice at you. And yes, when you say, okay, we're here, we'll get out of the car. Yes, you should be able to conduct yourself with temperance and pull yourself together and say, okay, Lord, I don't want to bring a reproach to the things of God. I understand that. But when that's a daily activity in your life and every single day you're acting out this Christianity before people and you get out here and you say, this is what Christians act like. This is the way Christians walk. This is the way Christians talk. But when you get away from anybody else and in front of your families, you talk and scream and you yell and you holler and you got bitterness and hatred, there's a problem. It means you're acting the other time. Which part are you acting when you're at home? Are we acting when we're at home like we're angry and we're mad and got all this viciousness and vengeance in us and hate for people and everybody? All the brotherhood's no good and they're all wrong and nobody lives right, it's just me. Is that when we're acting, or is it when we get out in public around people? Which one is the actor? You judge it for yourself. Which one is the actor? Who are you talking about? Who are you talking to? I'm talking about every one of us, brothers and sisters. We're all guilty. We all have these ideologies and we play games with God. But if we would get the virtue of the Holy Ghost living in us and dwelling in us and let that virtue manifest and come forth, we're going to find that we are not given to change. Woe unto you given to change, the Bible says. How come we think because I'm angry now, it's somebody else's fault? They made me mad. They done me wrong. They done Jesus wrong, but he didn't act that way. Man, let's grow up in God, man. Praise God. Let's get where we need to be with the Lord, amen. We want to walk in the power, walk in authority, walk in love, walk in temperance. We need patience, brothers and sisters. Oh, no, we're not going to go there, are we? If you don't believe God answers prayer, you just pray for some patience right now. Let me lay hands on you and ask God to bring you patience. If you don't believe that God answers prayer, you come up here and I'll lay hands on you and say, God, give them patience. Tribulation brings patience and it comes fast. Amen. I've never seen prayers answered so fast. Amen. You ever been there, Brother Rob? Amen. I've been there. Hallelujah. You got it conquered? I'm working on it. You don't have it conquered, Brother Rob? He has it conquered. Amen. And he showed it to me, and I'm pressing into perfection. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, there's times that I've been patient and gentle and long-suffering with much temperance and things, and then this other time, this old man's mind rises up, and all of a sudden, I find myself in a warfare. I find the things that I want to do, I find myself not doing them, and all of a sudden, there's something else laying in my members that can't be God. And all of a sudden, I find that thing worn in my members, and the things I want to do, I find myself not doing. And I say, shut up, Rob Coons. Get you behind me, Satan. You savor the things of this world. You savor the things that be of the flesh. And you ain't got no say-so in the matter. Get you behind me. And you say, man, you sound like a schizophrenic. You can call it whatever you want, but I'm going to keep that man down and keep him to shut his mouth that Jesus could live in him only. Amen. Let's give the Lord Jesus a hand. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. And the knowledge, temperance. And a temperance, patience. So, we say patience. Oh man, what do I do to get that? A little bit of tribulation helps. Say, oh boy, it's getting quiet, Brother Rob. Oh boy, I don't know, preacher, if you can preach about them patience, man, or not. I don't know if you've got victory in it or not. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Something we need to grow in. And when we see weakness in ourselves and we examine ourselves and we check, brothers and sisters, we'll find ourselves going through some tribulation. We'll find ourselves going through some things and we learn because God's been so gentle and patient with you and I, been so long suffering with us. And brothers and sisters, I could tell you things that I've been so manifested of the spirit of patience in that it would probably blow your mind to talk about the patience that I've expressed in the spiritual realm. And you say, well, help us out a little bit. What is it? Brothers and sisters, I've had some come to me and reprove me and say, why do you put up with this man? Why do you put up with this woman? Why don't you put them out? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Because patience possesses my soul. And the thing is I'm not looking for the good of myself. I'm looking for the good of others and being patient in the Spirit of God. You know, brothers and sisters, patience is something we as Christians are afraid to ask for. We truly are. We're afraid to say, man, you know, I just don't want to deal with this. But brothers and sisters, we got to learn to deal with things in our life. We got to learn to deal with our problems, our shortcomings. And the Bible said all men's hearts are fashioned alike. And what we do is make excuses. That's what we do. My dad understands excuses in the natural dimension. We never was allowed to give them. Dad, I had a flat tire. We'll leave earlier next time before you have time to fix it and still get to work on time. I don't want to hear your excuses. That's the way I raised up. No room for excuses. And it was good teaching and good doctrine because we're living in a world. Everybody's got an excuse. You know, the reason I'm no good is because my daddy was no good. The reason I'm no good is because my mama beat me. The reason I'm no good because my great-grandfather was this and that. You know, you get over it and grow up just a little bit. None of us are good. But he's good. And we need to pray for the spirit of power. So many people go back and they just run this hobby horse. Well, I was mistreated. My mama didn't love me. My daddy didn't love me. And I raised up in this kind of house. Shut up and get over it. I can't say that with enough strength and power. Look what Jesus went through. And he exercised authority and power over it. But people, you know, we live in this world of a victim mentality. Oh, everybody's a victim. If you're black, you're a victim. And they brought you over here and made you a slave. And if you was white, you was off over there and they had you enslaved over there in Egypt at one time. And if whatever, everybody's got an excuse and everybody, if somebody owes them something. We've been mistreated. Just get over it and grow up in the Lord. Get born again. Get filled with the Holy Ghost and start doing something for God. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. I'd like to put that message out there in the airwaves, amen. This whole world, man, everybody's full of excuses, and it's always somebody else's fault. Well, I didn't learn in school because the teacher was dumb, and I didn't this and that, and it's a mess. So we're talking about patience here, and we're going to look for a place to close in a moment. You know, brothers and sisters, God will help you in it, and you'll exercise it in you, and you'll find yourself. If you're not seeking after it, it'll find you. And you'll find yourself in positions that, you know, it don't matter how much you're going to press, how much you're going to push, how much you're going to get upset or whatever about it, you're going to find that you are going to be patiently waiting for the Lord to move the circumstance or the thing out of the way. And he'll teach you to be patient and you'll possess your soul, as the Word of God says. Patience, godliness. Brothers and sisters, the Bible speaks about even the mystery of godliness. And we need, brothers and sisters, when we find godliness, it's going to bring all of these things in our lives. It's going to bring patience, gentleness, kindness, and long-suffering and temperance. It's going to bring the manifestation because that's all in God. And this is all what we need to be part of us. We're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We're part of the body of Christ. And we need to present this godliness, brothers and sisters, in us. It needs to emanate and come forth. We need everything that God has for us here. And we need to bring it forth. And with this, brothers and sisters, we're also going to bring brotherly kindness and brotherly kindness charity. You know, brothers and sisters, I could say in the spiritual realm, brothers sometimes they chide with one another and they bicker and they complain and this and that, but we need brotherly kindness. And sometimes we see things happening and the Lord is allowing these things to happen to bring something forth in you. When it's the brother's fault and this brother's fault and this brother didn't do me right and this brother, just remember that God prepared their heart to do what they're doing because he's working in your life about something. And the thing is if you make excuses for your failures because somebody else provoked you or prompted you or done you wrong, and you feel justified in what you've done in there, you've missed God. God hardened that individual's heart for you could overcome some shortcoming or failure in your life. I've used boxing as an example. I've never been a boxer. I've been boxed, been knocked out, but I'm not a boxer. But I fight against demons and devils and principalities and powers. But in the natural world of boxing, a man that wants to be a good boxer, he's going to find him a good sparring partner. And they're going to get out there, and he's not going to get somebody that just, you know, hold up a guard and let him practice his punching. He wants to get somebody that's good. And all of a sudden, when he's fighting this guy, and he breaks through his guard, and he slaps him upside the head. Well, I'm getting rid of this guy. He hit me. No, it isn't that way. He needed a man to be able to do that before he could find his weakness. Let me tell you, God knows what your weaknesses are, brothers and sisters. And he wants you to strengthen. He said he's given us, brothers and sisters, the spirit of power. We've been endued with power. Power to come against these principalities and powers. Power to fight against these things, brothers and sisters. And yes, the Lord, when we get saved, he's got a hedge of protection around us. He's protecting us. But he's expecting us to grow up, and he's going to be pulling this thing back a little bit. And he's going to allow some of these things to come in against you. Go read Job if you don't understand what I'm saying. And all of a sudden, you're going to start finding yourself, wait a minute. You know, where's my hedge of protection, Lord? Why did this thing penetrate through? Where'd this fiery dart come from? He said, son, I gave you a shield of faith. Get it up. We get mad at God. Why'd you let this fiery dart hit me, Lord? Get your shield of faith up. How come this demon spirit keeps coming out perplexing me, God? Get your sword of the spirit out, boy, and start fighting the devil. You see, brothers and sisters, we need the full armor of God on. We just read these stories and, oh, it's a little fancy little story, this and that. You need the full armor of God on, that we could walk in the power and authority of the Holy Ghost. We're in a world with demons and devils that are trying to kill, steal, and destroy. They're trying to rob your family. They're trying to rob your children. They're trying to rob your grandchildren. They're trying to bust up your homes and bust up your marriages. They're trying to kill you. And we're going to have to wake up and see what's happening. We Christians are too passive and just, you know, oh, we're just sitting back and watching them take our government. We've watched them take our land. We've watched them take our country. We watch them perverting our families. We got our children and grandchildren coming home tattooed up and pierced and poked on and all kinds of things. We say, oh, you know, God loves everybody. Oh, praise God. Glory, hallelujah. We better start fighting a little bit. We better start making a voice, making a stand against this foolishness. We're bringing it right into churches. We better start getting back to the old past. The Bible said we don't remove the old past. Where's the holiness work? Where's the holiness people at? You go to the holiness churches and they're stripped off. They take their youth up to the swim pools and up here to the water parks and stuff like that. God have mercy. Let the world do that. We don't need that kind of activity in our churches. Oh, but we're going to have a basketball game and a football game. Yeah, when you stand before the Lord with that child's blood on your hands because you got him out there in his mind of sports and he's pursuing after the football career and after the baseball careers and all that, and you lose them. And all of a sudden they're gone. We got some young men that come, they're off out there in the sports now. Basketball and football and doing all these kind of things. And there are all kinds of problems in their lives. Brothers and sisters, let's wake up. What's going on? What's happening? What are we seeking after? What are we looking for? What are we doing? You say, preacher, come on, man. We come to church and you're wearing us out all the time. I love you. I'm not wearing you out. I'm trying to get you to recognize the son of perdition, the thing in your members of your own flesh. It'll destroy you and kill you and lie to you and deceive you. And you'll be going along and think that you're a Christian, think you're a son of God, think that you're blessed and got eternal life. And you're deceived. And you're believing a lie and you're damned. The Bible's very clear about what a Christian is. How they talk, how they walk, how they speak, what they do. It's very clear. If you're a liar, the Bible said all liars are going to have their part in the lake of fire, except the Christian liar, he won't. That's not what it said. Christians don't lie. Christians don't cheat. They don't steal. They don't kill. You know, it's like, well, you know, thank God for his grace. Nobody's perfect. He said he's perfected you once and for all by the works there at Calvary. Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven and your Master is perfect. Amen. He give us the spirit of perfection. Amen. And we press into perfection. Hallelujah. But the spirit of perfection lives and dwells within us. Amen. Quit making excuses for our ignorance. Quit making excuses for our failures. Quit making excuses for our shortcomings. When you hear people making excuses, well, I got mad because this one done that. Just say, shut up. You got mad because you got a devil. Oh, but this one pushed my buttons. Good. God sent him there to push your buttons. And he pushed a button for you can see the stinking devil, for you can get rid of it. Help me, Jesus. I tell you, I had to learn to deal with that same old devil, brothers and sisters, because he come and tried to kill and steal me. My pastor came to me one day and he said, Brother Rob, be careful. The devil's trying to kill you. And I thought, and he goes, I hope that's not a revelation to you, brother. He said, that's what he come to do, to kill, steal, and destroy. But I just thought I better remind you of that. We better be careful, because that's what he wants to do. We need brotherly kindness. We need to love one another, be kind one to another. Amen. We need charity. Without charity, brothers and sisters, everything we do is a sounding brass. It's nothing but a tingling cymbal. We need charity and the love of God in our hearts and in our life, and let love emanate from us. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren. Now, if we're talking to a woman, brothers and sisters, and she says she's barren, we know she's not going to bring forth a child. We go into Old Testament doctrine, a woman don't bring forth a child has no inheritance. Now we step into the next dimension. If you're barren in the spiritual things, you're barren, you have no inheritance. You're not bringing forth the sonship. Now, beloved, now we are the sons of God, is what the Bible says. But the sons of God come forth from not a barren spirit. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Amen. Let's stand together. Just talking with you about the Word of God. Amen. you learn that a soft answer turns away wrath. Just because your wife yells at you doesn't mean that it gives you the right to scream and yell. And just because the husband yells at you doesn't give you the right to scream and yell. It gives you the right to exercise temperance, patience, gentleness, kindness, and the knowledge of God. And that you could deal with this thing through love, and then all of a sudden you'll find that the spirit has broke off the woman or the man, and all of a sudden the other one is broke off of you. Amen. And then what happens? When the spirits leave, we find peace, love, tranquility. Amen. So what are we talking about? We're talking about longevity in marriage and longevity in love and charity and virtue and righteousness. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I speak to you out of experience. Yes, I failed many times. Show me a man that's been married for 1 year or 30 years, and you're going to find that somewhere that they failed, brothers and sisters. But we could find out that, look back at the fruit of what the hatred and the yelling and the screaming, look at the fruit. Did it accomplish anything? No, it strengthened the problem and made it worse. If I was an alcoholic and I took a drink of alcohol and I got so grieved with myself, and I said, oh, gosh, I can't believe I failed. Give me another one and I'm just going to drown my ignorance away. Well, yeah, you'll get drunk for a while and you'll get women in your head and like, oh, you'll forget about all, but somewhere you're going to sober up and you're going to have to deal with the problem you should have dealt with already. It's going to come back and it's going to look you in the face. And I found that when it comes back and looks you in the face, it's always worse, so it's better to deal with it the first time. Because now when it comes back and looks you in the face, it's not just looking in the face, you got a headache too. But if you got a bad devil, then it's real bad. Like I say, you go out and you, well, they call that thing the ivory throne. Oh man, I had a good time last night. All I seen your head in the stinking toilet puking your guts out. That was a good time. Devils lie to one another. That was a good time. Oh man, me and my buddies went out last night. Man, we had a good time. I whooped him. We both came home with a black eye. But man, we had a good old time last night. Man, the devil's a liar. He is a liar and he's the father of all lies. It ain't no good time. The only good times, brothers and sisters, is in Jesus Christ. Amen. You can come home with a clear conscience and a peace of mind. Amen. And you can go out and you can do the things of God. And the next day, you don't feel guilty. You don't feel unclean. You don't feel like you violated. It's an awesome thing. Some people don't understand spirit living, spirit life. You know, I'll tell you the thrills of being a Christian, the joy of being a Christian, the exuberances of being a Christian and walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. I mean, I'll tell you, I'm sad to say that I've partaken what this world's got to offer. I've been out there in the business of it. I've been in the finance of it. I've been in the drugs of it. I've been in the alcohol of it. I've seen what the world's got to offer, brother, and it ain't nothing. It ain't no good. Amen. It's a lie. It's deception. It's diseased and it's sick. So just figure that out for yourself. Don't be looking at it. Don't be lusting after it because it looks good. It looks tasteful. It looks inviting. But boy, once you dig into it, sometimes it don't let go. It don't let go. The man took his wife out. She raised up a Christian gal in the church and everything. Guy marries him and he goes, well, I'm going to kind of check out the world a little bit. Let's go out here and try drinking a little bit. Let's go out here with the rest of them, dance just a little bit. Well, the guy figured out it wasn't no good and it wasn't right. He decided to come home, but his wife still liked it out there. So the guy comes back and gets in church, says, well, you know, the woman ain't no good. I'll just give her up. Get me another one. Preacher said, nah, don't work that way. You took her out there, you stand for her, and you believe and you trust and you pray. Amen. But you know, it's just too easy. Give them up. Put them out. Thank you for coming to church tonight and listening to the preacher preach. For he could get strength and help himself. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God's good. He loves you. Brothers and sisters, when we fail, let it become a strength, amen. Recognize and look, observe and examine and say, God, thank you. I recognize, I see. Now I can walk upright and straight. I can overcome the problem now because I found out what the problem is, Lord Jesus. It's me standing in the need of prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the work you've done in my brother Marion. Thank you for the strength that you're granting unto his wife. Lord God, as you're restoring her strength. Father, we love you and we thank you. Father God, we're standing, we're believing, we're trusting, Lord God. We put our foot on top of the vanity and the lying vanity of the flesh. and we're trusting and praying. And Lord God, we're calling on a supernatural God with a supernatural strength and a supernatural power, Lord God. And we're looking for it to manifest and reveal itself and come forth that we'll be strong. Hallelujah. All things work for your good, brothers and sisters. Everything works for your good because you love Jesus. Amen. And it might look bad. It might look like failure. It might look like that, but it's for your good because it's exposing something that you could conquer and something that you can get rid of. When you find yourself on your face, say, thank you, Jesus, for showing me the supernatural strength to get back up on my feet, amen, that I could put this behind me. Hallelujah. When you fall in a pothole, amen, recognize where it is and mark that thing, amen, and adjust your course, amen, because it comes around again, amen. As you're pressing, as you're going, as you're laboring, amen, Satan knows. He knows where your weakness is. He's not going to come hit you where you're strong. He's going to come where you're weak. He's going to know if it's temperance, he's going to hit you there. He's going to know if it's patience, that's where he's going to hit you at. So you say, thank you, Lord, for exposing this vulnerability in my life, but by the strength and by the power and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, I'm an overcomer and I'm going to conquer, and I put this behind me, thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen me, Lord God. Make me pure, make me whole, make me godly. Amen. Manifest yourself in me. Grant unto me the spirit of revelation. Fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost. Give me the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, and add virtue. Amen. And patience and gentleness and kindness. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to walk in the power of God. Amen. I hope that you're receiving tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As Brother Jeff comes up to dismiss the service, brothers and sisters, as he comes up, let's just close our eyes and let's lift our hands to the Lord and say, Lord God, here I am standing in the need of prayer. Lord God, I need power. I need the infilling of the Spirit of God. I need the manifestation of the gifts in my life. I want to be filled, Lord God, with the Spirit and with the love and the power, Lord God, the virtue and the righteousness and the holiness. I want everything that you have that pertains unto life to be granted to me, for I could be an overcomer. Strengthen me, Lord God, where I'm weak, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's sing together as Brother Jeff comes. Let's praise the Lord and worship the Lord God. Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.